and welcome back to Newport Library's Book Talks this Monday morning. This is Rebecca Cohen talking to you on KCUP AM 1230, or maybe you're listening on kcup.net or 100.7-2 FM. And I have with me this morning three of the people who are involved with one of Newport's latest publications, Citadel of the Spirit. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Welcome back. And Dennis, we heard a little bit from you on some letters that you wrote from Vietnam back in 67. And we have some letters on another war, or not letters, but a piece on another war from Carla Perry.
Yes.
Yeah, and Carla, you said you're willing, you've got your book.
I've got my book.
And you're willing to read from it. Go for it.
Okay, this essay is called When the War Came Home to Lincoln County. And I'll just read the first two paragraphs, because it's a long piece and that's all we have time for.
Okay.
My town is Newport in Lincoln County, Oregon. I'm thankful that endless squalls bludgeon the coast as they flatten trees in their winter march north, and that the cold summer fog forces us to walk backward against sand flying south. If the horizontal rain wasn't so painful, if the ocean temperature wasn't so bone-chilling cold, hordes of way too many people would settle here, and I'd have to move somewhere less crowded. As environmentally marvelous as my town is, we're still just a microcosm of the rest of Oregon, the rest of the United States in the 21st century. And just like any other small town, we have our highs and lows and not enough money to do everything we want. Sometimes the people join together to accomplish something extraordinary, like convincing the Port of Newport to reject shipbreaking in Yaquina Bay. Sometimes a problem divides us and we clash and then temporarily retreat to our corners to shore up our wounds. War is one thing that divides us. This is what war looks like in Newport. And then it goes into reactions of people who live in Newport to the Iraq War.
All right. Well, that very first paragraph, that was so quintessential in Newport. I love that. Yes, and It seems a natural juxtaposition. Matt, you didn't plan this, that Dennis and Carla would both be here.
No, I didn't. But I think if you read those two pieces back to back, you would see that those issues of war are still with us and how they affect Oregon. And Carla's piece is just phenomenal. Just blew me out of the water when I read it for the first time about when there was a – I think a lot of the people out there will remember about a year and a half ago, suddenly – the first casualty from Lincoln County, and then it hit us again, and then it hit us again, and there was like three in a row, and the war came to Newport, finally, the announcement of those deaths really, really tore up this community, and then her piece is about the Loyalty Days Parade, a little controversy about the march in 2007, and it's a wonderful piece, and urge listeners to go out and read this wonderful piece about Newport.
So, folks, and I'll open this up to all three of you. Is there something you hope these essays are going to accomplish?
You know, as the editor, I didn't really have a stated goal in mind when I put this together, but the book's title is called Citadel of the Spirit, and that comes from a quote from Ken Kesey, where he told the poet Walt Curtis, Oregon is the citadel of the spirit. And that metaphor just really drew me in when I first heard it, and how Oregon can be seen as a citadel for protecting its natural environment, for some of its ideas, and it's held out to other people as something to emulate and to look at as for protection. So, you know, I don't know, Rebecca. I mean, I didn't really have a stated goal. I just wanted people to think about Oregon in all kinds of different ways. And from the past and thinking about the future, and so I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, Carla, did you write that essay specifically for this book, or is it something you had written earlier?
I wrote this specifically for this book. I was very angry, I guess, at the way the Vietnam Vets for Peace were treated, and it made me go back to a long litany of incidents that had happened in the last couple of years that were, that Newport was going in the wrong direction. And then when Matt asked for topics that I might consider to be included in this book, that item was at the bottom of my list, and it's the one he chose. And I went, oh, no, this is going to take a whole lot of research, actually, in order to produce. And my first draft was 25 pages, and I had to cut it down to about 4.
Ouch, that must have been painful.
It was very painful for me to go through it. It was a difficult essay to write, and I often wished I wasn't writing it.
But we're all the better for that you did.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Dennis, now you didn't do this specifically for the book, of course. These were letters that you found in your folks. But by agreeing to it, them being published, did you have anything in mind, a goal in mind?
Well, first it ratcheted up the stress level quite a bit because it wasn't just being a storyteller. And, you know, it's sort of trendy now that, or has been since Iraq, that people realize before they didn't treat the soldiers well. It's like, hate the war, but not the soldier. And that's something that we've all learned, I think, to the point of supporting the war with a ribbon around an antenna on a car or something rather than raising taxes to pay for it. And I think this is where we are now. And during the war, I was sort of a poor liberal conservative mix. My dad was a John Bircher, which is, you know, another chapter of our history. And I came out of that sort of mixed. I thought Vietnam was a good idea. And that, you know, I got drafted and people said, why did you go? And I said, I didn't know there was an option. You know, I was culturally in a place where I couldn't say no. I just went. And then once I got there, I realized, wow, this is a big mistake. And not just because it was scary, but seeing the amount of money we wasted or how you'd fight a battle and then you'd evacuate wherever you were and start over again the next day. And so when I was writing this, it was sort of things started coming out. Matt helped me a lot with the writing process. And, you know, I kind of stuffed that genie in the bottle when I came home. I went back to work at my old job 2 weeks later. A week after that, I was in line at Portland State signing up for classes. And, you know, I did pretty well for a year or two, and then it kind of all came back. So this is kind of a way to help myself heal, too, and sort of get some of that back without being overly dramatic about it.
Yeah, Matt, did pieces come in from other wars?
Yes. There's a wonderful piece about growing up in Lincoln County during World War II. It's called A Coastal Boyhood in Lincoln City. On the Oregon coast, excuse me, by Tom Edwards, who was a very eminent historian of Oregon, the Pacific Northwest, and that piece is even an interesting contrast here because he's a young kid, and they're sent out into the woods to gather scrap metal and stuff like that for the war effort, and there was rationing, and everybody felt a part of it; they weren't removed from it like we are now, and so there's the World War II piece is in there. So there is some other things like that. And there's some stuff about Vietnam protest in there as well. So there's the whole range, I think.
And the American Legion.
And the American Legion and, of course, the Vortex Rock Festival that came out of that in 1970. So there's and one of the things I really like about this book is that I bring out a lot of Oregon's counterculture legacy, which has been completely overlooked by most historians and writers. And that legacy and what that's done for us. I mean, it's derided and mocked by a lot of people, but I think it's important to recognize who we are as Oregonians. Part of that is that counterculture legacy, and it lives in Newport, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
What makes this town interesting.
Well, no, but the counterculture didn't start in the 1960s.
Well, of course not. But, I mean, I'm talking about things that had led to you know, today. For instance, the organic food, you know, boom and that sustainability. Those are things people were talking about that in the 60s and 70s in Oregon.
And we're living it,
you know, and that came through. And so the book talks about that a lot, about some of those things.
And going back to my hero, Abigail Dunaway, who was instrumental in making Oregon the first state in the Union to grant women's rights.
Yes, and it was a struggle.
Yes.
And it was a struggle.
Excellent. So any last thing that you want to say about the book? We've got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I would. One of the things that one of the reasons why the book came about is because when I used to live in South Tillamook County, I would always go to Nestucca Spit and Bob Straub State Park and ramble there with my dogs. And, you know, the book really came about because we have public publicly owned beaches in Oregon, and the incredible battle that went on in 1967 to preserve that. And I'm very mindful of that. So there's a lot of beach stuff in this book and how important that is to Oregonians to have publicly owned beaches with guaranteed access. And since we've grown up with it, a lot of people forget that, but it's important.
And it's never safe.
It's always, you always have to be vigilant for that stuff.
Yes. I've noticed over the years there's these kind of backdoor ways that people are trying to block off particular pieces of beach.
And, you know, it behooves Oregonians today. People battled for that. The 67 legislative session was epic, and it's our duty, I believe, as Oregonians to protect the Citadel. And one of those things that's protected is our beach access, because I wouldn't be who I am without it.
There you go. Protect the Citadel.
That's right.
we have a war cry, or a peace cry, if you will. Now, you, Matt, you're teaching. Are any of your students in this anthology?
Yes. Mary Goldade is one of my seniors in English, Advanced Honors English, and Creative Writing. She's got a beautiful piece there called Lake Electric about Crater Lake. I had to have a Crater Lake story. It's just the story of a young girl going out there with her on a family vacation to Crater Lake, and then a storm arises, and it's just a really fun little evocative piece.
And to find out what happens when the storm arises, you have to
read the book.
That's right. And that's always the crux of
these
things.
And come on out on Valentine's Day. I mean, I know people will have their dates, and you know, but really, we're all in love with Oregon. Oregon's our Valentine.
It ought to be a heck of a party. And what's
7 o'clock, Visual Arts Center.
And the admission is $150.
And we've got, it's $150, and we've got cake in the shape of Oregon. You got to be kidding me. Show up.
Is it going to be green? Green frosting?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay, so you heard it here, everybody. That's this Saturday night, 7 o'clock at the Visual Arts Center. And Writers on the Edge and Oregon's 150th birthday. And it seems a rather appropriate way to celebrate it here in Newport with a literary event.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and thank you so much. I'm talking to two of the people that are helping put Newport, Oregon on the literary map, actually.
Well, Carla can take credit for that.
Yeah, well, she can. And then this guy who keeps writing books about Oregon. So thank you very much for listening to this morning, folks. I did want to just a quick reminder to you, for those of you who have enjoyed the literary flicks at Newport Library, tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 6:30, we're going to be showing the Razor's Edge with Tyrone Powers and Gene Tierney.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time. Not the Bill Murray version, the first one.
Right. Well, this is the first one. So that's at 6:30. It's free. And I will be talking to you again next Monday morning at 9 o'clock with Sheila Evans, an author from Yahat. So please join me then.